Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, family. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you can hear me clearly. Happy Monday, happy Monday, happy day of reflection to you. And welcome to episode 130 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. Let me get this right. Okay. I want to make sure you can hear me well. And so forth. I hope everybody had a beautiful weekend. The Eagles lost. I was a little tight about that, but that's life, right? That happens sometimes. It is what it is, right? In any event, as I said before, happy Monday, happy Moonday, happy day of reflection to each and every one of you. I hope I'm coming in nice and clear with no issues. Because my computer has been very special lately. In any event, let's go to the notes, start breaking down what we're going to talk about tonight. I also want to say happy birthday to, I believe they're in, we in Sagittarius season yet, family? I believe we are. Sag is awesome. They're so fortunate. They're so lucky. They got Jupiter as a planet. They're very, very fortunate zodiac sign. So happy birthday to all the Sagittarius, and that would include Nicole. There's a couple of other people who are not coming to my mind right now. But anyway, happy birthday. I also hope that everyone enjoyed their holiday 2 Thursdays ago. You know, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving because, you know, I know that that was, you know, a day of massacre. I talked about this before. So we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving, but we do get together with family and we eat and we talk and we listen to good music and we laugh and we love each other. And that's always a beautiful thing. But I'm always conscious of what certain holidays actually represent and how a lot of holidays aren't so holy. It's very interesting how the society that we live in has a fixation with negativity, with death, with murder. It's very interesting. And a lot of the holidays, quote unquote, that, you know, we're accustomed to celebrating or, you know, we were raised to celebrate, they're not really that nice. So I try to make sure I give you all some understanding about certain things that maybe you don't really know about. So I'm going to touch on some of that a little bit later. But my first topic of discussion for this evening is the legal woes that continue to mount up for former President Donald Trump. We are in a very interesting time. I know I continue to say that, but I can't say it enough. It is so, so true. Because as you know, never before have we had not only a presidential candidate, but a former president be indicted, you know, with 91 counts and in different courts across the land. We haven't ever had that before. I mean, ever. So you definitely have to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to watch this space because more and more is happening every day, and it's easy to become desensitized to it. It's easy to sometimes just unplug from it. You know, I do have friends and associates who have conveyed to me, I don't watch the news, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I continue to tell you guys, like, you got to know what the enemy is doing, okay? We know that the news is controlled and programmed and what have you. I'll talk about that too. But within it, there are little pieces of truth. And within it, there's also information about the agenda that they wish to thwart upon not only the United States of America, but the planet. So you got to be aware. In any event, it was very interesting as the appeals court held up the gag order that has been placed upon him. You know, his lawyers were doing their best to say that he was exercising his Second Amendment rights and that, I mean, First Amendment rights, excuse me, freedom of speech. And that when he goes on his little tours and does his little rallies, you know, all of the trouble that he stirs up with what he talks about is just him exercising his freedom of speech. Whenever he's tweeting, he's exercising freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. Well, the court said, how about no? The court was not having it. They definitely gave his lawyers a run for their money. It was very interesting because I watched some of the hearings. And, you know, the judges, there were three judges, two women and one man, and they put up very strong arguments against Donald Trump's lawyers. You know, the lawyers continue just to try to push this narrative that he could say whatever he wants to say. And one judge was like, well, how can he just say what he wants to say when people can get hurt, when lives are being threatened? Because they're aware of the countless threats that each judge, aside from Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida, but, you know, Judge Tanya Chutkan, the other judge in New York City, there's one more judge, there's one more. And he just wants to, oh, what's his name in Georgia? They want McAfee. They want to continue to say that he can just threaten these people and threaten their families. And the judges were like, no. So I'm pretty glad that they came back with that judgment because it's a little bit unnerving that he's able to just be so buck wild and say whatever he wants to say. It's very disconcerting. So also, Judge Tanya Chutkan in D.C. shut down his lawyers who were attempting to get his case completely dismissed because they're trying to say that, you know, he was a former president, which somehow would make him have all types of diplomatic immunity. No. And that he's also a candidate for president. And so in either one of these instances, his case should be dismissed. She shut that down like a skeet shooter, honey. She shut that down. She was like, no. And although he is a former president who's currently running again for president, it does not make him a king. And so I was like, ooh, mic drop, because she definitely wrote a very long rebuttal in regards to this particular request. You know, so it's interesting because he's not really getting his way. The only place he seems to be getting his way is in Florida in the Mar-a-Lago case with the documents, because the judge there, Judge Eileen Cannon, was actually appointed by Donald Trump. So she seems to be dragging her feet, honey. She's dragging her feet. She is going real slow. She has not given any date whatsoever with regard to trial. You know, basically, I think that she's just trying to help him because he appointed her. Now, I wish that the Supreme Court of Florida would get themselves together and take her off of the case. That would be nice. But she's the only judge that seems to truly be holding up these proceedings. Everyone else seems to be moving at a pretty steady pace. Judge Tanya Chutkan is not praying. We know very well that the district attorney in Georgia, D.A. Fannie Lewis, she is not playing any games anyway. And so Scott McAfee, the judge in the case, has heard many different cases so far. As we very well know, we've got Sidney Powell, who was convicted. We got Jenna Ellis, who was convicted. We have the other dude who went first, who's convicted. Then we had one more man convicted. So it's not looking good. Now, what was also interesting about that case was that the brother in the case, okay, I don't understand his modus operandi at all, okay? This is the one who, when everyone was initially arrested and turned in and had to be, you know, indicted, he was the only ass that was held behind and put in the Fulton County Jail because he had the audacity prior to this particular event to, I believe, put his hands on an FBI agent. Okay, we don't do that. So there was a warrant that was out for his arrest, and he never turned himself in for that. So they decided to keep him in the Fulton County Jail. Now, eventually, he posted bail, and he got out. But even as when he got out, I don't know, maybe they're drinking from the same cup of Kool-Aid, but he decided that he would go on little rants on X, formerly known as Twitter, and talk about the governor of Georgia, talk about the Secretary of State, I think it's Brett Raffensperger, different individuals, and also attempt to contact the other individuals indicted in the case. Now, according to the bail agreement, they are not allowed to communicate with each other, meaning Sidney Powell cannot call Janet Ellis. Janet Ellis can't call Rudy Giuliani. Nobody can call the other person. No one can communicate with the other defendant. So he went above and beyond and decided to just hit everybody up. Okay, so that is a violation of the agreement. Hence, District Attorney Fani Willis decided to go back into court to ask the judge to remand him to the Fulton County Jail. Now, that was a nice, long, and juicy moment, but the judge did decide, no, I'm not going to put him back in jail, but I am going to add more in regards to his agreement, his bail agreement, not being able to communicate with each other and so on and so forth. But if he, in fact, does any of these types of things again, then he will go to jail. Now, Rudy Giuliani is coming up soon, and this is going to be very, very interesting because presently he is in trouble. He has been, his judgment was to pay, what's her name, Shane Mosley and her mother, who were the women who worked at the election site. And they tried to say, or he tried to say, that they were conducting illegal activity and that her mother handed her a flash drive as if she was handing her a vial of crack when it turned out to be a ginger mint. And there was no level of culpability with regard to illegality with the two of them, okay? Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss were completely vindicated. Not only vindicated, but then they turned around and sued Giuliani, at which point he owes both of them millions of dollars. Now, Rudy is going broke, okay? Rudy's been going broke for a minute because, number one, Trump never really paid him for his legal services, and he was already having a little bit of financial difficulty. So I find it very interesting that he's being forced to pay millions of dollars. We'll see if he comes up with that money. But he owes it to both of those women for slander, conjecture, and all kind of other stuff. Let's see. So as I mentioned previously, his lawyers continue to scramble for any opportunity that they can find to get his cases dismissed. It's not really working, but they're trying. And in the meantime, the orange class clown continues to travel around the country spewing so much fascist rhetoric. It is wild. It's wild to see. And, you know, my husband and I will take time out every once in a while to watch one of his live rallies. Honey, pull out the popcorn and some beer because it is entertaining in a sad way. We're watching a grown man make an ass of himself. But the other part of it that's dangerous and disturbing is that he's playing into the fears and insecurities of a majority of white people. He's basically making them feel as if not only what he says is true, which is not, but he's goading them down a road to make them feel as if, oh, let's go back in time. Okay, let's go back to when black people have no rights. Let's go back to when black people were enslaved. I'm using my term black very loosely. You all know I don't really like to use that term, but I know you know what I'm trying to say. It's deep. And there do seem to be a few confused black folks mixed up in his Kool-Aid for God knows what reason. But he panders mostly to white people who, as I said before, want to go back in time. You know, the past is not that sexy for America, okay? Women didn't have rights at all. He wants to cut down on immigration to a point where he wants to put the children of immigrants in cages. I said, okay. He wants to eradicate all of the Muslims in the country. He wants to deport them. Now, I don't know why no one has decided, even a little bird, to tell him we do have Muslim citizens. Okay? They are America. So who are we deporting? Now, yes, you do have Muslims that are here that are from other countries, and perhaps they can be deported back to their home country. But you have a slew. We have an exorbitant amount of Muslim citizens. So I'm like, what say you about what you're trying to do with them? This is a very interesting and contentious time, family. We have to be careful. And anybody who's listening, if you're new, welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina. But, like, I need you to get your head out of your behind and really pay attention to what he's saying. Please. The man is so out of control. Okay. Also, did you all know that the Republican Party in our government, the Republican Party in Congress and the Senate calls Trump Orange Jesus? Did y'all know that? I learned that last week. I was like, excuse me? What in the Yosemite Sam are they trying to insinuate? Orange Jesus? Huh? Okay, we in trouble, family. We in trouble. I'm not even going to attempt to go into the blasphemous part of this. I'm going to let that go. But I feel that we've reached a moment where insanity and fascism have permeated and penetrated not only into the Republican Party, but unfortunately into some of the hearts and minds of some very detached American people. First of all, this is America. This is the United States of America. Aside from her initial beginnings, especially when they were eradicating Native American people all across this land, they took the darker-skinned Native Americans, specifically on the East Coast and the Southeast Coast, and enslaved them, renamed them as Negro, and they lost their indigenous status as a Native American person. Aside from having enslaved Black people, predominantly Native American, like I said, enter into Revolutionary War, World War One, different conflicts that they got their own asses into. Because, again, you had the Spanish here and you had the French here. Louisiana and all points west were owned at that time by France. Then you had parts of Arizona, California, even Florida that were bought and owned by the Spanish. So the Spanish-American War was when we kicked the Spanishes behind, and they went back to Spain, and then Florida becomes a part of the United States. But Florida became a territory, right? Then you had the Haitian Revolution, the Logan Morning, which beat the crap out of the French, and they went bankrupt to the point where they had to sell Louisiana and those points west to America. So that becomes, Louisiana Territory, Oklahoma Territory. Okay, they called it territory. They weren't states at the time. But we had melanin-dominant men that fought in these wars, one of which, I believe, the Revolutionary War, the British told the melanin-dominant men, if you fight with us, then when it's over, you'll be free. And those are the men that, after the war was over, they couldn't be free in America. What's that? They couldn't be free here, so they sent them where? They sent them to Nova Scotia, okay, which is a part of Canada. And that is where hockey was born. Again, get the book Black Ice, which is about the history of hockey and how melanin-dominant Native American men created ice hockey. Okay, that's just a sidebar. But you have all these instances beforehand, you know, which is the beginning of America. Then you get your 13 colonies, blah, 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 right? Then we move all the way up to the Civil War, where the South wants to secede from the North because the South is like, I'm holding on to my slaves. You can't make me get rid of my slaves. And so you have the Civil War. And even after the Civil War, melanin-dominant men that fought on behalf of the South in the Civil War, many of whom were murdered or put into concentration camps and eventually either died of starvation or were murdered. So thanks for that, right? Okay, so let's come up to post-Civil War. You got emancipation, you got Reconstruction, then you get Jim Crow, which some people would say still exists to this day. You have people who, number one, want to go back to that time. So the orange-faced clown, depending on where he is and who he's speaking to, lends his conversation to promote such a thing. Said the other day, I think he was in Iowa, but just the other day, talking about how, now he's telling white people to go to Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, and New York, which we all know are predominantly melanin-dominant people areas, right? Talking about they got to go and make sure that the votes are not, illegal. But he also sort of insinuated, like, you're going to prevent these people from actually voting. Now, we know that the Voting Rights Act, and is a state in the South. It's not coming to me right now. But they're dipping to reverse that. I stated this several years ago on this very program that the Voting Rights Act for melanin-dominant people in this country has to be voted upon every 9 years or so. It's not just a clean slate that it's in the amendments to the Constitution and that, okay, yeah, we all just get to vote no matter what. It's not really. So the orange-faced individual is pandering towards people who want those rights taken away from melanin-dominant people. Like, they literally want to retard this country. They want to go back. And it's very frightening to a certain extent because as more people listen to his rhetoric, especially weak-minded individuals, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm just saying when you lose your ability to utilize critical thinking and you know that what you're hearing is retarded, what you're hearing is straight buck wild crazy, but you put his name on a sign in your front yard, you make yourself look like an asshole. Anytime we drive past people who have these signs or flags, I'm just like, you're detached. There's something not right with you, and you might be missing a couple of chromosomes. Something's not right because essentially, overall, if you listen to everything that he says, if you can try to pay attention because the poor thing can't even complete a damn sentence. But if you listen to what he's saying, he is promoting anarchy, chaos, division, hurt, death, violence. Like, and he's like a 9-year-old child who's spoiled as hell. Real talk. We've never had an American president, let alone presidential candidate, who states that they are seeking to get rid of a whole news network, which is MSNBC. Remember originally it was CNN? Remember years ago when he was running for president the first time and he always was calling out CNN and CNN was fake news and CNN this and CNN that? So So now his new enemy is MSNBC, the whole friggin' network. Why? Because they talk the truth about him. Why? Because they're not up his behind. They're not Fox. And for those of you who listen to Fox on a regular basis, be careful because you're going to need therapy after listening to Fox. You're going to need some counseling. Because Fox is off the rail because it's about sensationalism. It's not about the truth. It's not about journalism. And apparently it seems that he has a lot of dirt on a lot of people because everyone is just following him like he's the Pied Piper and they're a bunch of rats. I'm like, what is going on? This is a very sad thing happening in our country. This man is not talking about liberation. For goodness sake. He continues to praise dictators. Family. Come on. He praises Vladimir Putin. He praises Kim Jong-un of Korea and President Xi of China. Just the other day, he said Xi is like a genius. Really? And I'm like, if these people are so freaking fantastic, then go over there and live with them. See how well that works for you over there with them. Because, again, this is supposed to be the United States of America. We actually do have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. We have rights, not even in terms of when you need a license to drive and things like that. We have inalienable rights, inalienable rights. That's what makes America so special. That's why everybody want to bring their ass over here. But the wild part is when you keep talking about immigrants, I'm like, none of you were born here. When I say you, I'm talking about these individuals with Trump and all his old friends. Y'all, they weren't born here. Donald Trump's grandfather, I think, what, he came from Germany or something? Good morning. He, at some point, most white people in this country, in their bloodline, somebody is an immigrant. The only people native to this land are my brothers and sisters who are Native American, indigenous American people. Whether they were enslaved and renamed as Negro and put into chattel slavery or not, they are the only Native people to this land. Don't get your panties in a bunch if I'm telling you this. That is the truth. And I'm not talking about the more Asian-looking Native Americans because they've only been here for 6,000 years. But the original black, melanin-dominant Native American man and woman have been here for over 50,000 years. Yes, 50000. I mean, we're indigenous to the entire planet, but that's another story. Ultimately, when we're talking about America, it really bugs me out when I see these melanin recessive individuals running around telling one of us to go back to Africa. And I'm like, we ain't come from Africa. Newsflash. Only 4% of captured enslaved Africans were brought to America. 4%. Why? Because you already had a whole slew of melanin-dominant Native American people already here. Why would you go and port another few millions of people? You're not going to do that. That makes no sense, especially when you know your ass is cheap and everything is about money for you. You're not going to do that. But you will take a Native American melanin-dominant individual from Massachusetts, Long Island, New York, New York, New York, Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky. You will take them and put them on ships and bring them all the way around into the Mississippi Delta and up the Mississippi River. You'll do that. You might even take a few of them down to the Caribbean with the rest of Native indigenous Caribbean people. Because when you push rhetoric and you push bullshit pardon my expression, but when you push garbage and people believe it, that's dangerous. So I'm going to be the voice of truth in the particular situation. I will be a voice of truth to cut that narrative into pieces. Because ain't nobody going to come up to me telling me to go back to Africa when I know my people weren't from Africa. Sincere, we're talking about one of the biggest narcissists that we have seen since Adolf Hitler. To me, they go right along with each other. When you are talking about bringing harm to people who don't agree with you and who don't look like you, when you're talking about bringing harm to a whole group of people who happen to practice a particular faith, as in Islam, you just want to get rid of all of them. You want to eradicate everybody. And so I'm urging you, I'm going to urge you later too, but I'm urging you to go and look up his plans for 2025. Because if you're really an American and you believe in the Constitution, as well as the Bill of Rights and all the amendments and all the fun things that make our government a true democracy, and how we have three equal branches of government so that one doesn't usurp another, if you believe in that, if you want to hold that up, if you are one that wants to stay true to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments, then you've got to make sure that you do not vote for Donald Trump. Not only do you not vote for Donald Trump, but you begin to get your moxie up, as my mother would say, and contest him. I feel like a bunch of us should go to a rally, like 60, 70 deep, so we could just yell and scream at him that he's a liar, that he's a fascist. He wants to be a dictator, family. He wants to be king of America. We never had a king. In charge of America was King George, and that was in the 1700s, at which point George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and such decided to keep America for themselves. That's how America became America, because originally they came over here on behalf of England, which is why upstate is called New England. New York was called New Amsterdam. New Jersey is New Jersey. The new part is because all of those other names exist in Britain. Jersey, Amsterdam, New London, Connecticut, New York, you have York in England, okay? And New England was the whole area. So New England comes from England. Connect the dots. Because some of you failed history. Mother knows this. I'm not trying to crap on you. I'm just saying. Connect the dots. Realize what actually happened. Because the only way America becomes America is when they decided to change the plans that they initially set out for, okay, on behalf of Britain and King George. They said, you know what? We like it here. Let's just keep this for ourselves. Let's just never go back there. And then you have America. Before America, A-M-E-R-I-C-A, is Ameruka. Ameruka, which is Native American. Good morning. And again, I say, all of this entire nation was inhabited by original indigenous native people, many of whom were slaughtered. But this, the Native Americans was more of an Asian descent, you know, the more slanted-eyed, straight-haired looking Native American. They originally attempted to enslave them, but they did not have the immune system strong enough to deal with these people. Why? Because the Europeans were diseased individuals. They didn't bathe very often. They had very poor hygiene. They had terrible dental. It was a mess. And so those Native individuals became sickly. A lot of them died off. Now, put on top of that, the blankets that were infected with smallpox deliberately by the U.S. government, given to various Native groups to help get rid of them as well. The Native indigenous people, not all of them, but a lot of them, that were in the Caribbean, such as Haiti, Haiti, such as Jamaica, these places where Columbus and his men went, they gave them disease and they gave them syphilis. Didn't y'all know Christopher Columbus died of syphilis? Gonorrhea, sexually transmitted diseases, because they didn't wash their asses either. So then that leaves this little twinkling, just a few of Native American individuals or Native Caribbean peoples. They didn't get rid of all of them, but they definitely decimated parts of the population. So the same thing happened here. But the melanin-dominant Native American, the melanin-dominant indigenous Native American, i.e. Black Indian, they didn't suffer the diseases. They had the highest immune system. I need y'all to really understand what I'm trying to say right now. As melanin-dominant human beings, especially back then before you had quote-unquote immunization, had the strongest immune system on the planet. Melanin-dominant people worldwide has the strongest immune systems. So you could throw smallpox at them and they're not going to catch it. You might give them gonorrhea, but they can get rid of that with herbs and different treatments. Why do you think they utilized the Tuskegee experiment the way that they did in deliberately infecting melanin-dominant men with syphilis without telling them and to see how's that going to work out? And that was horrible because syphilis is way worse than gonorrhea. So, I'm saying all this so that you can really get a clear idea of not only the functionings of this nation and how America came to be, but the fact that the melanin-dominant people were quote-unquote emancipated and freed, right, 1863, 1865, and now you have an individual who is running a presidential campaign talking about controlling and getting rid of certain people. That's not America. And again, aside from all of these Native peoples, these indigenous individuals, everybody else that has come here with white skin is an immigrant, whether it was their great-great-great-grandmama, whoever, immigrant. So they can't keep running around trying to tell melanin-dominant people to go back to Africa. We've been here. We've been here for tens of thousands of years. This is why I keep trying to stress how important education is, self-education more so than a formal education. Reading, buying books, doing your research. Stop playing these stupid-ass video games and read some books. Get some history. Learn some things. Because when you don't know who you are, you're going to have a hard way to go. Somebody can tell you anything and you're going to think that that's the truth. You know how many black folks, so-called black folks, are running around believing that hundreds of millions of African people came to America when it was only 4%? Do you know how many melanin-dominant American people do not know that they are actually Native American indigenous people? That's all done on purpose. And again, you know, the old saying is unfortunately true. If you really want to hide something from my people, melanin dominant people, put it in a book. Because we're too busy doing all this other stuff. And this is how we can remain ignorant to the glory of who we really are. Okay, yes, we were enslaved for a long time. However, are we not still here? Yes, we are. And some of us have been able to raise our consciousness to a level where we know what we're doing, where we know how to have a farm or even a small garden, where we know how to make sure we take care of ourselves, where we have skills and we can fix things. My husband and son just had to take our toilet off in the guest bathroom because we had an issue with the toilet, but they knew how to take it off and put it back on without drowning the house. Hello? Skills. Skills are so important. I keep telling y'all, if the power goes out tomorrow, what you gonna do? What will you do? This is why I keep trying to stress to you all to get out of the city. The T's with an S. Because the orange class clown just talked about four major cities. New York, Detroit, Philadelphia, Chicago. Really? What would happen if we all just leave the cities and go into the outskirts, go into the more rural area and live and do well, mind you, because the plans ain't cute for the cities. Y'all know about that new, what is it, emissions charge, $15 per vehicle in New York City? What? And y'all had no say in that. The governor just said, poof, this is what I'm going to do. Because New York is too congested and New York is this and New York is that. What do you expect? Because New York is one of the number one tourist areas in the world. What do you expect? You have all these bridges and tunnels in New York. Why? So people from Brooklyn and the Bronx and excuse me, New Jersey can come in and go to work. So this is a very interesting time. Keep your head on the swivel and pay attention. And while we have this other one running around, you know, spouting rhetoric and praising dictators, like, I don't, does he know that Putin, Xi, and Un have committed gross atrocities against their own people? They've even murdered family members. Does he know that? Is he excited and pleased about that? Probably, but I'm just saying. And I really do not understand how gullible his followers actually are. I mean, like I said, either they're showing their true selves and they are racist and they are ignorant, okay? My question is, do they really understand what he's saying when he speaks? Sprinkling pixie dust all over all the crowds. Okay, maybe they're in a trance. Maybe they're hypnotized by him. Do they understand the words that are coming out of his mouth? Because this 78-year-old man is running around gaslighting, lying, chastising judges and their families, putting district attorneys and clerks in harm's way by hyping up and emboldening people to hurt them. And the wild part for me continues to be that his minions, they're not only drinking the Kool-Aid, but they're doing the backstroke in the Kool-Aid. So that begs the question, what is really going on in the minds of Americans? Are they that scared? What are they scared of? Why are they so paranoid? Now, I do know about innate nature of specific individuals. I'm well aware of that. But I also know that there are some people who are not all afraid of, quote unquote, immigrants or people that don't look like them. There are a lot of melanin recessive people who are pretty cool, who are caring, who do not like this individual and will not support him. It's a very, very interesting time because he's trying to pit people against each other. He's a true anarchist, true anarchist. Wants to pit people against each other, doesn't care about hurting anyone. Talking about the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, what the hell is it paved with when you got ill intentions? Because he's got ill intentions. So, again, I say, never in the history of this crazy country have we ever had a person quite like this. Okay, we've never had a presidential candidate or a former president indicted with 91 federal counts against him. Never have we had an individual like that be able to run for anything, even if they did exist. Not to mention, we're talking about somebody who is a real, like, woman hater. He's disrespectful to women. He's demeaning to women. He has sexually assaulted many, many women, including his ex-wife, Ivana Trump. A horrible viewpoint of women. As I said before in a previous episode, it's because his mother was ill when he was a baby, and so he did not get, he's a prime example of a narcissist because he didn't get the love and affection and attention from his mother. He didn't get that maternal love during his infancy and toddlerhood. So he grew up to be this crazy ass. Now, of course, when she got, you know, well and still was able to take care of him and watch him grow, she probably realized that she had given birth to the Antichrist. Okay? He's not intelligent. She hoped that he wouldn't get into politics because he'd be a mess. Hello. Hi. So he's not only like the son of Satan, but he's also not the sharpest knife in the drawer. We're not talking about someone who's highly intelligent. We're talking about someone, and that's why he always wants to talk about how high his IQ is. Most intelligent people don't talk about how high their IQ is. It's actually self-evident in their behavior and commentary. But no, this one here wants to praise his IQ, which is probably not that high, because he can pay anybody to say whatever he wants them to say, just like his father paid the doctor to write a note that he had heel spurs and could not be drafted into the armed forces. That actually happened. The same person who gets daddy to pay the doctor to write a letter to exclude him from being involved in the armed forces then turns around and craps on veterans. So disrespectful, so mean. He was so horrible to John McCain. And I wasn't even a John McCain fan, but I did understand that he had been captured in war and he was tortured and blah, 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 blah. But he survived. And Donald Trump made a mockery of that man, a mockery of him. Wow. Remember what he said that veteran say? Back in the day, he didn't want to get out the car because he didn't want to get his hair messed up. And then he was talking about not wanting to visit Arlington Cemetery because those were all the graves of losers. So any of you out there who are new to my show and you are listening to what I'm saying, and you have a daughter or a son or a nephew or a husband or maybe even yourself involved and enlisted in the armed forces, you can't possibly be in support of this cretin. You cannot possibly support him because he would call you or your child or your husband or your nephew or your niece or whomever a loser if they were killed in battle or even wounded. He would call them a loser. So it bugs me out when I'm looking at all these rallies and they're all over the place, South Dakota, la, la, la. I'm like, you know the people in this crowd have relatives who are in the armed forces. How do you support someone who is so disrespectful and degrading to members of the armed forces? Y'all do know the armed forces help to be the backbone of this nation. So it's oxymoronic to me if anybody who has a family member or if they themselves are involved in any branch of our armed forces and they support Donald Trump. That's oxymoronic and basically ass backwards as far as I'm concerned. And sad. So again, do yourself a favor. Check out his little plan for 2025. His, you know, his dictatorship and his all the different branches of government that he wants to shut down. Of course, rendering people unemployed, and of course, weakening the functionality of our government and of our country at large. You know, cutting Social Security, cutting Medicaid and Medicare. Like, really? What? This is frightening. This is frightening. The fact that he's in court and he can still run around the country and spew all this garbage. So pay attention. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't try to ignore this. Then he's running around talking about he has taken full credit for killing Roe v. Wade. He's taking credit for that. Because of the minions that he put into the Supreme Court. Our Supreme Court has never been so imbalanced, let alone corrupt, ever. So be careful, okay? Donald Trump cannot be trusted, okay? We cannot begin to try to trust an individual who doesn't read, doesn't know anything about research, okay? Doesn't know anything about the institutions of higher learning. Doesn't respect women, doesn't respect, indigenous people and melanin-dominant people in this country, doesn't respect Asian or Muslim individuals in this country. We can't afford to have an individual in the White House, again, who wants to attack any and everyone who does not agree with him. That is a true narcissist. Like, it's wild to me. We are all in the process, any of us who have children or even grandchildren, nieces and nephews, we're teaching our children to be good. We're teaching our children not to fight other people. We're teaching our children not to be violent. We're teaching our children to tell the truth and to be honest and trustworthy. But yet, this orange monster is the absolute opposite of that. And he wants to run this nation. Somebody answer me as to how this is okay. The other question I have is, why does he get so much airtime on television? I think it's interesting. I know who controls the media. So individuals are also aiding the narratives that he purports. In my opinion, he should be silenced indefinitely. He should be kicked off of Twitter again. Truth Social should come down and be done with. Okay? How can we have a narcissistic anarchist wanting to be in control of the United States of America? You know, in other words, he's an orange loser. And I really wish that somebody would cut the cord on his mic, tie up his little fingers so he can't comment on social media, and shut this fool up. Did you know that 144 Capitol Police officers were injured on January 6th? Of course, we know that one officer died from the January 6th insurrection. And all of this because Donald Trump continued to spew his rhetoric and lie to the people. People are still being brought in, indicted, and sentenced to jail. Still. He's so toxic, he got his minions to chant, "Hang Mike Pence," plans to attack, rape, and scalp Nancy Pelosi. Someone actually urinated and took a dump in various offices of senators. Who does that? So again, I ask, if you are one who is entertaining the thoughts and plans of Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States again, please do yourself a favor. Look inside yourself. Look in the mirror. Think. Do not get intoxicated by his words. Do not allow him to make you think that he really cares about you, because he doesn't. The only one he cares about is himself. That should be self-evident, regardless of what comes out of his mouth about, "I am your retribution." No, you're not. "I am your savior." Hell no, you're not. He barely cares about his own children, especially his son. You could see that. He has all kinds of sexual fetishes about his own daughter. He's on the flight log for Jeffrey Epstein's plane, the Lolita Express, more than once. Attention. His foreign policy was horrendous. He made us the laughingstock of the world. Come on, y'all. We can do better. I'm not Republican, but damn it, I would vote for Nikki Haley over his ass. You know, so again, he seems to be delusional about what country he's actually in. He thinks that he's in North Korea. He thinks that he's in China or Russia. And this is neither of the three. This is the United States of America. Life, liberties, pursuit of happiness, all that good stuff. And as far as I am concerned, he can go under the jail. And he can go under the jail with Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Okay, he's another twisted narcissist, very strange sexual habits and things. They could go together. Put them both in orange jumpsuits and orange Crocs and let them go. To believe that he is above the law. And as far as the Supreme Court goes, they do seem to be above the law. They are kind of uncheckable. But a president is not uncheckable. A presidential candidate is not uncheckable. And an individual with 91 felony counts against them is definitely not uncheckable. It is time for many, many individuals to wake up and smell the VO5 Super Hold hairspray. Wake up. On to my next little segment. MSNBC has canceled the Mehdi Hasan show. This is one of my favorite shows. Yes, it comes on the weekend, but, you know, you can catch it on YouTube and stuff like that, or you could just watch it live. Mehdi Hasan is a fierce journalist. He holds no punches during interviews, especially interviews with presidential candidates, okay? Like how he roasted Vivek Ramaswamy a couple of months ago. He also did not really hold his tongue with the ambassador to Israel, Mark Regan. And this was a very heated discussion. It's recent. You can actually YouTube it if you want to, and many are stating that the reason why his show was canceled was because of that particular interview. It was heated. You know, but Mehdi stood his ground like he usually does. He doesn't back down. And it was interesting because the ambassador was doing his best to demonize Hamas at every single turn, but he failed to take any responsibility for the thousands of deaths which Israel has put upon the Palestinians. Okay, we have the event from October 7th, right? Supposedly 1,400 Israelis were killed, right? And 200 or whatever were taken as hostages. Now, if you study the history of the Israeli occupation of the settlers in Palestine, which they tried to rename as Israel, but technically that area was called Palestine. They stole the land. And I can't hold my tongue on that. That is the truth. That is a historical fact. I've spoken about this for quite a while. I will continue to talk about it because it continues to happen. When you have a white Zionist movement that decides because of World War I and World War II and atrocities that were committed against Jewish peoples in Europe, and they decide, the Zionists, decide, we're going to take this land. We're going to take this land and we're going to call it Israel. This is going to be the state of Israel. And then you have European immigrants flooding into Palestine and with permission from the United Nations, also white at the time, to push the Palestinians into these little regions called currently the West Bank, right, and Gaza Strip. But before even the West Bank and Gaza Strip were established, they were just going into people's houses and forcing them out at gunpoint, talking about, this is my house now, get out. So you tell me how that type of behavior and those types of actions wouldn't yield retaliation, wouldn't yield attacks. I'm not condoning those attacks. I'm just saying to use reason. You've got to look at things, be logical, and see, yeah, that makes sense. Because any one of you right now sitting where you're sitting, if somebody rolled up on you at gunpoint and told you to get out, whether you're in the car or you're in your house or your apartment, and they tell you to get out, that this is their house now, this is their car now, this is their apartment now, would you not be pissed off? I'm sure you would. So this is a long time coming. This was not the first attack on Israeli citizens, and it damn sure hasn't been the first attack from Israel onto the Palestinians. This has been going on for a long time. Long, long time. Even in 1948 was when it was established that Israel was going to be a state under the Zionist occupation and the Zionist movement. And you have to begin to differentiate between the Zionists and a regular Jewish person. So we're seeing all this uproar, and we're seeing conflict, and we're seeing murder and what looks like war, although it's been going on for decades. But it's about the Zionist occupation. And the Zionists are the ones where anyone comes out and speaks strongly to a Zionist, especially a Zionist Jew, they get into trouble. They get sanctioned. They get fired. The same thing happened with Cenk Uygur, who used to be, he used to have his own show on MSNBC back in the day. But he was very passionate, very much like Mehdi. And so he was fired. Now, they did offer to give him a package similar to what they gave to Mehdi, meaning that you can be a commentator, you can come on, and you can be a replacement host if somebody is absent. But Cenk said no. Mehdi said yes. Mehdi said, okay, fine. But all of this has happened predominantly after this interview with the ambassador to Israel, Mark Reckitt. So, again, I say, who called who? All right? Because people don't just get fired for no reason. Who called whom? The beginning and the end and the middle of the story is about who owns which network. Who owns whom? Follow the money. Pay attention. I was talking about this the other day with my husband because I'm like, when people put up statements that say that the Jews control everything and then they get sanctioned, I'm like, how do you get sanctioned when it's true? How do you get, what is it, a secret? It can't be a secret. It can't really be a secret. We know that all of Hollywood was created by Jewish men in the early 1900s. They had come to America, hello, after World War I. They came to America to try to blend in and seek a better life, many of whom were being chastised in New York at that time because everybody comes into New York. They all come through New York Harbor. They see Lady Liberty, and they go to Ellis Island. They go through processing, and then they're able to come to the mainland of Manhattan. Then they may go into Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, blah, blah, blah. But many of them were being chastised. They didn't have much money. A lot of them were starving. They had to try to figure out, how do we carve out a niche for ourselves? One of them came up with a great idea. Let's go west, where there weren't a whole lot of people, aside from the Native American Lenape people. But they went out to California, decided to create Hollywood. MGM means Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Three Jewish people. Paramount, Columbia, all these different 20th Century Fox. These are all Jewish men. So to this day, these individuals and the legacy of these individuals has continued. The banking industry, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America. We're talking about Rothschilds and Rockefellers. The Warburgs. Pay attention. So it bugs me out when people get into trouble when they state this particular truth. And I'm not saying it so that people can go out and beat up on Jewish people. No, not at all. It is a fact that major corporations, a lot of them, mainstream media, Hollywood, banking, even the control over the education of this country was instituted by a Rockefeller. The Rothschilds are one of the wealthiest families on this planet. They own property, buildings, major institutions all around the planet, not just America or not just in Paris, the planet. When we have the conversation about the Jewish slaveholders of melanin-dominant people up and down the Mississippi River, why do you get your panties in a bunch when that's the truth? Why do you get yourself upset when that is a fact? So there's something awry when you know who holds the cards and the keys, but if you point out who holds the cards and the keys, you get sanctioned, you get fired, you get blackballed. Words? What is that? So the civil unrest that we are all watching that's happening in Palestine / Israel, number one, it's not new. But number two, it is a revealing. It's a revealing of what has happened. And it's also shedding a lot of light on this level of control, this global level of control. Now, I don't know if they knew that that was what was going to happen. I don't know if they were aware that people would begin to become enlightened about this process. People would begin to become educated and knowing sign before it was ever called Israel. And more recently, the president of Israel, or prime minister, whatever he is, Benjamin Netanyahu, who's a Zionist, went before the United Nations and held up a map where there was no West Bank and there was no Gaza Strip. Just the whole area was called Israel. If he is not throwing a hint, I don't know what to tell you. So yes, although on October 7th, Hamas, which is a very large network of individuals, I am not going to call them terrorists because I don't believe you're a terrorist if you are in your own nation and you are being attacked and you have been displaced, you've been pushed out into areas and regions that are surrounded by walls where you have to get permission to come into parts of your own country. And you get set up and retaliate. I don't really call that terrorism because what I would call terrorism is the occupation and settlement of a group of people coming in to take over other people, just like what happened here. Most people might not call George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin or John Adams or Hancock or any of them terrorists, but to me, you were terrorists because you came to take land where people already lived. So the fact that these people are on our money, the fact that these people have holidays, does not mean that their behavior wasn't terroristic. Sorry. I know. This is America. I know. Why I stress the importance of learning history? Ooh, you must understand. Then you understand, then you overstand. You've got to get it. It's not all what it's cracked up to be. It's definitely not what we learned in second grade. And I don't want to hear about, oh, George Washington was honest because he told his father when he chopped down the cherry tree, because that was all symbolism. Why? Because the cherry tree is actually the Moorish flag. It represents the Moorish nation, the Moorish occupation over here in America, most of whom were different Native American clans of individuals who called themselves Moors. And George Washington and his Masonic brothers knew in order for them to establish and become a new nation within a nation, they had to eradicate the Moorish Empire. So when he came back to his brothers, meaning his brotherhood, his Masonic brothers, and said, I cannot lie, I chopped down the cherry tree, it means I have eradicated the Moorish nation in this country, and now we can take over. Any of you who might be online watching, listening to the show right now, and you're looking at the slides of the pictures, the very last picture I always put up is the cherry tree. The very last picture in my slideshow is the Moorish nation flag. five-pointed star, which is green surrounded in black on a red background. Again, you've got to know. So a lot of us, what we got in elementary school and junior high school and high school was garbage. It was an untruth. Why? Because the more of us that really understand, and overstand the truth of American history, the truth of what happened, the truth of the millions and millions of Native American indigenous peoples who were slaughtered, enslaved, and moved around, we might get an attitude. We might get upset. Doesn't mean we're going to revolt. But again, knowledge is power. So if you're melanin dominant and you're listening to me right now, don't let nobody tell you to go back to Africa. Even if you do have African heritage, even if you are a descendant of an enslaved African, don't let nobody tell you to go back to Africa, because if that's the case and they're white, then you tell them to go back to Germany, Italy, Spain, France, where they came from. If we all have a right to be here, and again, the individuals who have the most of a right to be here are the Native Indigenous peoples, most of whom, especially on the East and South Coast, are melanin-dominant people. So get into it, okay? There's a lot of stuff on YouTube on it. You could just put Black Native American. You can put Black Indigenous American, all kind of things. You could just put them in there. Look at the Senegal powwow 2023-2022. Look at the powwow. Look at those natives on the mound, dressed in regalia, celebrating their heritage. Look at the Narragansett Native Americans up in Massachusetts. Black people, follow the history and the legacy of the history, the stealing of their land. They're still stealing Shinnecock land right now. They're constantly in court facing petitions from white people who want to build million-dollar homes out in Southampton, but in actuality, it's Indian territory. But, you know, the government and the Sicy lawyers always find a way to steal just a few more acres here and there. They have the audacity to build a golf course on sacred burial grounds. They didn't give a damn, and they got the nerve to call it the Shinnecock Golf Course. They do not care. We're talking about a very barbaristic type of people. And I think that's something else we, you know, have a hard time trying to grasp. Because, you know, we want to be friends with everybody. And it's okay to be friends with everybody. But make sure that the person in the everybody is not your enemy. Real talk. Lastly, on this Native American subject, the thing that bugs me out the most is that these individuals were so freaking lazy that they did not rename every single part of this country. So many different towns and areas of this country still have their Native American names. If you live in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, different parts of New Jersey, Hoboken, Hohokus, Passaic, as in Passaic, and so many other places are named after the Native Americans that were there. Pensahawken, which is Sahawken, but William Penn put Penn in front of it. You have all these areas all over, all the way down to Florida, where you have little neighborhood Seminole trails and the Seminole woods. The Seminole are a Native American group of melanin-dominant people. All over Chicago, which was East Chicago, Native American. I can't even go through the list because the list is so long it might make your head spin. But I'm so real when I'm telling you they didn't even have enough sense to change the names. So when you fail to change the names and we're riding around and we see all these Native American names, Roanoke, Lenape, Ramapo, you know, Ramapo College, all these places, hello, Native American. And like I said before, if you're on the East Coast from Maine down to Florida, all the way over to Alabama, and you got Mississippi and Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky and all that smushed in there, Native American, melanin-dominant people. All the way across to California with the Wampanoag. Lenape in California. Melanin-dominant people. And I've become quite astute to be able to look in the faces and look at hair texture and different things with melanin-dominant people to be able to see who is Native American and who African descent. I can tell. Those high cheekbones, that nose that's straight. Nose is straight, honey. Okay, you got nostrils. They're not that wide. They're not as wide as an African. A definitive chin, pronounced forehead, and a different texture of hair. And this is not from the mixing of a white man and a black woman, or a black man and a white woman for that instance. This is not from that. Different characteristics in those people as well. But I can see so clearly. It's almost as if the universe has given me this new vision to be able to see my beautiful melanin-dominant Native American people. I can see it clearly. Then if I have a conversation with someone and ask them, well, where are your people from? And they tell me North Carolina, or they tell me, you know, South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi. I'm like, oh, okay. Texas. Hello. It's deep. This is why we continue to stress know thyself. We continue to stress the importance of obtaining, maintaining, honing knowledge of self. Because if you don't know who you are lost in this world. You can be easily taken advantage of. You can be easily dissuaded into different things. And you can believe things that aren't even true. So, you know, just do your best. You know, have a hunger and a thirst within you to become an enlightened individual. We are reaching a time of enlightenment. The whole planet, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. We are in the very beginning of the age of Aquarius. So untruths and scandalous behavior, misleading people and, you know, trying to alter history and things like that, which is what you see, especially the members from the Republican Party, they are really working overtime to control the narrative of history. So you have to do yourself and your family and your children a favor. Become the griot. Become the one who holds the knowledge and can pass it on like a torch. My mother, God rest her soul, gave me that torch. I'm running with it to the best of my ability. I am giving it to the youth. I'm giving it to my nieces. I'm giving it to, at this point, whomever wants to learn. Because our times are going to become a little bit more tumultuous before they become all peaceful and groovy. And we can move through the battle unscathed when we have knowledge of self, when we uphold ourselves as righteous individuals, You can move through the battle. Spoken about, like, in my past, being in different situations where it was a stampede. I've been in a few stampedes. Did I get stepped on and trampled? No, I did not. I went and was able to escape completely unscathed. At a gig where a shootout began at the club, did I get shot? No. I got out. Again, your own personal energy is so important and so key, because you can go through a hellish situation or a violent situation and come out unhurt. It's your own personal energy. And as I'm sure you can tell, I'm a very optimistic individual. I am not pessimistic at all. I have no time for pessimism. Miracles cannot happen in a pessimistic vibe. And miracles happen every day. I have witnessed miracles in my own life. I have witnessed other people's lives. Miracles are real. So when you have faith, not only just in yourself, but in knowing that you are a divine child of the universe, it's no holds barred. There are no limits for you. There's no limitation for you. If you walk in that energy, if you interact with individuals with that type of energy, if you smile and you're a happy and loving person on a regular energetic bubble, reverberates that energy. People who come in contact with you will feel it from you. They could feel it if you're in person. They could feel it if you're on the phone. They could feel it if you're in an Instagram video post or whatever. They can feel it. This is what we have to get back to. We have to get back to source. Some of you may call it God. I don't really call it God because I know that that energy is male and female. So I might call it God is God. I might call it creatress and creator, but I know that the universal creatress, creator of all things is in us, around us, above, below, around, in front and back, on the sides, all around us. We live in these energetic bubbles. So if you move with that energy, if you create things with that energy, you know, if you cook with that energy, people can taste it. People can see in your work, wow, that's beautiful. If you become one who emanates not just the beauty of a physical thing, but the beauty and the constant work to perfect your soul, because that's what we're here for. I've said it before, we ain't here for the bag, honey. We're not here for the money, and we're not here for all of that. Now, yes, we need that to survive in our society at this time. But you can barter with your friends. You can barter with your family members if you want to. You can have that even exchange. And you can also have an even exchange of energy. Just make sure it's a high energy. It's a loving, kind, compassionate energy. Very important. You know, they stress this a lot in church sometimes, you know, being good, da, 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 and I get that, and that's a wonderful thing. But even in that environment, I don't know how high you're going to get, because you're always going to believe that you're beneath a Jesus Christ or a Moses or a Muhammad. You're going to believe that you're beneath that. And that, you know, you have to have favor with those particular individuals or entities. But it's you yourself. And I've talked about this before. I spoke about this with my mother. My mother was a lay minister. But we had some of the greatest esoteric conversations. Because as I got older and I continued to study and meditate and I continued to elevate myself and enlighten myself, she could feel it and see it. And she was like, I am amazed at the woman that you are coming into being. And I said, thank you, Mommy. I said, but at the same time, because I let go of religion, I let go of it. I used it as a vehicle to get me from point A to point B to point C. But then after that, I'm the one, I'm doing the driving. So I realized that if I continued to worship another entity, if I continued to worship, let's say, a Jesus Christ, then I won't become a Christ. And I'm actually here to become a Christ. I'm here to become a highly enlightened entity, which is what a Christ or a Christos actually is. Or, you know, if we're dealing with, you know, Muhammad. Muhammad is the prophet of Islam, and everybody calls him perfect, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. But at the same time, I am in the process of achieving my own enlightenment. And I'm not going to go into the Jesus story right now. I'm just saying, if you're constantly in a position where you make yourself smaller than another entity, then you're always going to be smaller. How can you ever rise into your highest levels of consciousness if you make yourself smaller than someone else or something else? Like, we're bigger than we can really understand. We're more powerful than we truly realize. You know, our brain is so fierce. Okay, your brain is processing 6 billion bits of information per second. That's awesome. My computer can't do that. My computer buffers. My brain doesn't buffer. Are you feeling me? You might, you know, ponder and think for a moment, but your brain doesn't buffer like your computer. Your brain doesn't even shut down. Damn it, when you go to sleep, you have dreams. So you're always in a state of consciousness, whether it's unconscious, super conscious, or just conscious. And these are the things that we have to get into so that we can evolve as a species. We are so stuck on stupid right now. We're in this loop, if you will, where we're just doing the same things over and over again. We're not evolving as a species. But because we are in the beginning of the age of Aquarius, so many people are able to tap in to the power of the force. So many people are becoming more and more enlightened, better educated, not just book-wise in school, but book-wise on their own, buying books on Amazon and different outlets. I used to buy books from all over the world. There were books I couldn't get in America. So I would go on Cygnus, CYGNUS.com, and get books from Europe because they ain't have it here. You know, I'm a seeker of knowledge. I understand that. But aren't we all? Don't we all want to know more? Don't we all want to do better? Because you can't do better till you know better. So your primary directive and operational thrust of movement in your thoughts should be to evolve yourself to become more and more enlightened. I'd love to come to the part, a point where I become so enlightened that I don't have to come back into a body. I know that I'm not quite there yet. I'm working on it. Like, it is an intention I have. And with that intention is love and goodness and peace and happiness in a shift, okay? There are a lot of scientists that are also saying that the Earth may shift its poles, blah, 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 blah. We'll see what happens if that comes, if and when. I know it will, but if and when, because the Earth has flipped many, many times. But up until that moment, put yourself in a state of enlightenment and evolution for yourself. And then it can become contagious, and other people around you will shift their energy and want to evolve as well. energy is everything because everything is energy. When you learn to move and do like that, that's when you can really have more control over what we would call the matrix. You know, that was one of the most amazing series of movies written by a black woman, by the way, because it talks about just, you know, when you have that power inside of yourself, how you can navigate through your world and through the universe, how you will begin to truly know that you are immortal because your soul does not die. That's awesome. We are eternal beings, stay in this flesh. But our soul will remain. And then we will incarnate yet again. And our ancient sciences were fully aware of this. Fully. That's why I like to stress to certain people who can handle it to study comedic science, which is ancient Egyptian science. Study that. Lastly, I'm going to say, I watched a short video the other day with Brother Ray Higgins. Ray Higgins used to be a regular reverend until he got completely turned out in a good way through the Ashra Kwesi and his wife, Dr. Mary Ra Kwesi. They would go on trips to Kemet in groups of, you know, maybe 20, 30 people and receive the education of a lifetime. And so Ray Higgins went to Kemet several times with Dr. Kwesi and his wife, so much to the point where he came out of the church and began his own congregation based on comedic science. So he was talking about, and I'm going to talk on this probably again because I don't know if I have enough time to really dig into it, but he was talking about something that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, where I was talking about how the period of Christmas is actually a celebration of the winter solstice and the new coming of the sun. That sun is not the S-U-N, it's the S-O-N. I mean, sorry, other way around. It's not the S-O-N, it's the S-U-N, it's the sun in the sky. Why? Because from December 22nd, the sun seems to disappear beyond the southern hemisphere, except in Africa, where Kemet was. And so as it disappears, it sits on what we call the Southern Cross. On December 25th is when the sun begins to rise again in the Northern Hemisphere. That is the celebration of, quote-unquote, Christmas. Everything about the story or historicity of a Jesus Christ, first of all, is based on the actual birth of Heru in ancient Kemet, the virgin birth from his mother Oset, and that he is born on December 25th. Heru is the first entity that we have born on December 25th. Now, even prior to the legend of a Jesus Christ or the story of a Jesus Christ, you have other individuals that are also supposedly born on December 25th. So this is actually the birth of the rising sun, the rising S-U-N, not S-O-N. Okay? It's a allegorical story based on the sun in the sky. Because the ancient Kemites knew that even without a certain amount of time of sunshine, we die. All living things die. Natural living things are dependent on sunlight. This is why original man is so dark-skinned in their complexion. Because we as melanin-dominant people have a divine relationship with the S-U-N. So, although I have my house decorated with holiday cheer, if you will, it's not for the celebration of Christmas. it's actually for the celebration of the coming of the sun. As we move, the sun comes back into the northern hemisphere. Our days get longer after the winter solstice. The winter solstice is the darkest day of the year. Just like the opposite, the summer solstice in June is the longest day of the year. So we give thanks for the sun. There's nothing wrong with giving thanks for the sun in the sky. There's nothing wrong with that, because we know that without that sun in the sky, we all perish. Think about it. Have you ever watched any videos based on like moon landings and the temperature of the moon from the side that is facing the sun to the dark side of the moon, and how the dark side of the moon is super, super freezing, like 300 minus 300 degrees Fahrenheit, like it's freezing on the other side of the moon. Why? Because it doesn't get any sunlight. Look at the South Pole. South Pole is very, very interesting, because there's a period of time in the South Pole and even in the North Pole where the sun doesn't come up so low in the horizon that it looks like it doesn't rise. And that's based on the juxtaposition of Earth in relation to the sun. That's why we have four seasons. And we're separated in terms of the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. So our beautiful, ancient, melanin-dominated individuals who created and perfected African sciences, and then when they came over here 50,000 years ago to begin the entire Native American population, they knew this. This is also why the societies were matriarchal, giving praise and reverence to the female. Why? Because without the female, no one is born. A man cannot give birth to a child naturally, I got to say now, naturally. Only a female can, right? So this is why our societies were matriarchal. Even in Native American clans and tribes, they're matriarchal. The clan mother is higher than the clan father. See, upon my former clan mother, Many Feathers, her name was Clan Mother Many Feathers, and she was over the clan father in the Cherokee Nation here. And the Arawak native in Jamaica and the Caribbean are the cousins to the Cherokee. So she's transitioned, she's gone on to her next life. But when I was first speaking with her and meeting with her and seeing her and going to powwow with her and different things like that, and she taught me the ways of the nation, the Cherokee Nation, our feather, how we wear it, all different types of things. Very powerful little woman who was melanin dominant. And I learned that the clan mother is over the clan father, and they are the ones who run the clan. But the clan mother is more supreme than the clan father. And that cemented the knowledge that I had about Native American tribes and clans, because, you know, we live in a patriarchal society, which is dangerous. Why? Because patriarchy doesn't breed life. Patriarchy is separatist. Patriarchy is selfish. Patriarchy is not nurturing. Patriarchy is not overly loving. A man has to learn love. A boy, a baby boy has to learn love, which is what I said about Trump earlier and how he ain't get that, and that's why he's the crazy bad bug. So the formative years of children are exceptionally important. And when a boy, a baby boy is born, if he doesn't get that love, it's very difficult for him to give it when he's older. How can you give what you don't know? So he has to seek it out. He has to want to learn it. He has to want to gain that level of compassion and love and sensitivity. Because why? As women who are the predominant sensitive, nurturing, loving, caring, compassionate entity, which is why when we have children, we have to love them up. We have to love all over them and give them safe spaces where they feel secure and they grow into becoming secure adults, not insecure. Not falsely egotistical or narcissistic, because a narcissist builds up their own personality. A narcissist bucks themselves up and makes themselves to be bigger and greater because they didn't get love, because they didn't get nurturing and compassion. This is a psychological fact. So again, melanin dominant societies were predominantly matriarchal, some of them still are, because they knew that it is the woman who is the nurturer. It is the woman who brings forth more children and expands the tribe, the clan, the nation. There's an old saying, African saying, when a man is born, an individual is born. But when a woman is born, a nation is born. Let that meander. Ponder on that for a moment. Because we got a few of you out there who are very disrespectful to women. Some of y'all put your hands on women. Some of you just debase, degrade women. Some of you attack women sexually because you have no power of your own. And so in seeking that power, you attack a woman. You think a woman is weak because she's loving and kind. You think a woman is soft. Real talk, last thing, there's a video and it's a video. Oprah Winfrey is in it. I don't particularly care for her. But the title of it is something like, Stop Being Soft. Okay. There's a time to be soft and there's a time to be hard. However, the majority of your time should be spent being kind of soft, not being weak and being a punk. No, not at all. But being gentle and kind and loving and nurturing and caring to your fellow man, to animals, to plants, to all living things. So I know I need to watch it, even though I can't handle her for so long, but it rubbed me the wrong way when I saw the title, like, Stop Being Soft. And I'm like, if everybody was so hard, this world would be even crazier than it is. So, again, I'm coming to a close. Time went quickly. I see a lot of you in the queue. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. I believe I see Sister Dawn in the queue. Thank you all. Anybody who is online, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I truly appreciate you. I appreciate Dr. Wimborne and the Reverend Robinson for allowing me this platform. It's really important that we're able to share knowledge and wisdom with each other. And, you know, sometimes I'll try to be funny so you'll get a little chuckle, you know, but I'm grateful for your presence and I'm grateful for you listening to me. I'm very, very grateful for my wonderful husband. He is awesome and so beautiful, and I thank him for his patience and, of course, his skill set, because he knows how to do so many things. But also listen to him on SoundCloud. He's got some of the dopest mixes. He just put up 3 fly mixes called Melanated 1, 2, and 3 on SoundCloud.com. Straight fire. So fly. Woo! Get your life and check them out. Again, happy birthday to all the Sagittariuses. Everybody, you know, live your best life. Be good. Be a good human being. Be love and be light. Thank you for being with me, and have a blessed, wonderful, fabulous week of abundance ahead. One love, family. Love you all. Peace.